All right, let's get started this morning. If I can get, Dave, if you read Mark 16, verse 20, that'll be our launching scripture. Then if I can get, Gabe, if you'll get Acts 1 and verse 8. Casey, if you'll get Mark 1, 14. And then Brian, if you'll get for me Mark 16, 15. Then one more here. Isaac, if you'll get 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 7.
Did you say 1620?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I can remember as a disciple, Pastor Mitchell, he would often say, preach Jesus. Something he often encouraged disciples. And when I got sent out, again, one of our final conversations, he said, Jesse, get them saved, get them to heaven, and preach Jesus. And before I got sent out, you know, into Santa Fe, I had never preached a formal sermon in a church setting, right? Is that, you know, people, you go out and they ask, you know, did you ever preach in Prescott? And did you ever preach a service, etc.? I never had. And so with that, though, I did, however, preach. I witnessed. I had opportunities to preach altar calls at 180. I had opportunities to preach neighborhood outreaches in my own front yard and other venues. I had opportunities to put together Bible studies and teach and declare the word of God. So doing a work for God, it does involve preaching. But many times we can connect the idea of preaching to strictly behind a pulpit, right? Is that here, guys, they think I can finally get sent out and I can let everyone know the good things I have to say now, right? But in reality, we preach in everyday life. We can have everyday opportunities where a platform can be established where you can begin to preach and declare God's word to people. So in the scripture we're going to look at this morning, Jesus, he has died on the cross, risen from the dead, and now ascends into heaven. And immediately, the disciples get to work. They preach. The Bible says they preach. So your future ministry today starts with a correct understanding on preaching and starting to preach today. Let's look at Mark 16 and verse 20.
And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen.
Okay, they preached everywhere. Let's think firstly about this idea of preaching. The word preach, it simply means to declare. Preach comes from the idea of a herald. This is someone who declared the message from the king. He would go into the streets and declare, this is what the king has to say. And he spoke on the authority of the king, and people would gather and listen because this came from their king. So this is what we are called to do as men of God, as preachers that we want to become pastors. We're called to preach Jesus, declare the king's message, declare God's message to humanity, and that is going to be through a declaration. Let's read Acts 1 and verse 8.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth.
Okay, think about this. Here's Jesus, you know, Acts, this is again before his ascension. He's talking with the disciples, and he says, you're going to receive supernatural power. Power from heaven. You're going to be anointed with the Holy Ghost. For what purpose? To witness. Or to preach, and you shall be my witnesses. You will be heralds for the king. You will declare the message where? everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so here, this is the first thing the disciples do, where we read in our text in Mark 16, is they immediately begin to declare. They immediately preaching, that's ministry. There weren't pulpits yet. There weren't churches. There weren't congregations. There wasn't a conference announcement, right? Here Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses. At his ascension, immediately they begin to preach. And this has to be in the heart of a pastor, of a disciple, is this burden to declare. And the drive for them would have been the Great Commission, Mark 16, 15.
He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Okay, think about this again. Here's Jesus giving instructions to the disciples, giving them a task. What does your future look like? What are you going to be doing? Preaching. Preaching what? The gospel. Preaching Jesus to everyone and everywhere. So what this teaches us is this. Ministry starts with preaching. Ministry starts with a heart for preaching. And again, in essence, it's simply testifying of Jesus Christ. It's being a witness to the gospel, the power of the gospel, and how it's impacted your life. Verse 20 says, and they went out and preached everywhere. The one thing they did before anything else was they preached. Before they had miracles of their own, before they ever pastored or was leadership over any kind of church, before all the miracles of the New Testament, the supernatural signs and wonders, think about this. They did something that we can do in 2020. Let's preach. That's where ministry starts. Not only that, we have Jesus. He's our example. And where does his, not where, but what does his ministry start with? Mark 1, 14.
Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God.
All right, what is the first thing Jesus does? He preaches. He declares the kingdom of God. And so here, before the mass following, before the supernatural miracles, before the water into wine, before fill in the blank, it starts with declaration. So ministry, this is where it still begins today. Is you, men of God, or men that want to do a work for God, getting a heart for preaching? Whether that looked like witnessing and testifying, declaring the gospel, preaching an altar call in an event that you organize, preaching at 180, all these various opportunities. And we need to think then why. Why does ministry start with preaching? Number one is because this is God's primary means of reaching people. Okay, God uses people to carry the gospel. God has done this. This isn't something new. Think about the children of Israel whenever they went in to battle or wherever they went, and they brought the Ark of the Covenant. They carried God into an area. They carried God into a city. They carried God into a battle. That is a picture of what we do with the gospel, that wherever we go, it is us who carries God. Right? I was thinking about this idea just in my mind. You have David. He tried to put the ark on cows, right? It wanted to tip and it wanted to fall. And it led to a judgment. Why? Because God instructed, you carry it. This is why, you know, evangelism via Facebook, evangelism via Instagram, evangelism via, you know, we think that's the key. Think of how many more people we can reach. There's some truth in that, but you are called to carry the gospel. You are called to preach it. You are called to declare it. That's what Jesus told the disciples. Don't you think that the God who created the universe, who knows the end from the beginning, if there was another means that we should use outside of ourselves, another primary means outside of ourselves, he would have told us? Right? But what is the command? What is the commission? You carry it. You will be my witnesses. And that is still true today. The job at the end of the day is up to us. So the sooner you develop and cultivate a heart for preaching, a heart for declaring, the sooner that your ministry begins. Secondly, this is a matter of value, right? Preaching is about giving your life for people, right? You give your life for people. And pastor simply means shepherd. Pastor, that word is not a title. It's a function, and it is sacrificial. Jesus told Peter three times, feed my sheep. What is he driving home? What point is God making that if you are going to feed people with the word of God, you need a heart for preaching? You need a heart. You need to see the value of preaching in whatever setting that is, right? Yes, I'll sit with couples and counsel them, but really I'm just preaching the word of God. I'm pointing out what the Bible says. Maybe I'll sit with someone working in an area they need deliverance. I'm preaching the word of God. I'm declaring what the Bible says about that. This is what I mean, is that it's a heart of preaching and feeding the word of God. It's a matter of value. Thirdly, is that when we have a heart for preaching and preach the gospel, it reminds us that who this is about, right? Becoming a pastor, doing a work for God, it's not about you. There's guys that they make it about themselves. They make it about the conference announcement. They make it about the position or the title. But when we get a heart for preaching, we recognize and we realize this is about Jesus. This is about souls. This is about eternity, right? And often people become prideful. They get momentum. They gain some type of recognition in their area or even in their city. They get favor and they begin to think, it's them. It's them. But actually, when you work with people and you're preaching the gospel, it's a reminder how much it's not you. How much it's a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. What leads to salvation? As Paul writes in Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through preaching. That's part, yes, a church service, but that is also in part by you preaching or declaring the word of God. So, ministry starts here in preaching. You need to recognize and ask yourself, what is my heart in this area? What is my heart? Do I have a heart for preaching when there isn't lights and a microphone? Do I have a heart for preaching when there isn't a massive crowd? Right? Do I have a heart for preaching? That question needs to be answered. So let's think secondly about God helping. So our text shows us that God, he moved through the disciples' preaching. Verse 20, where David read, said, they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. God blesses his means of ministry. Right? As I said before, this is God's idea. You preaching, you declaring. God is the designer of this. So, he will bless his message and he will bless his messenger. So, let's think about three ways that God helps or works with us or works with the preaching disciple. Number one is that God anoints us. Pastor Greg has defined anointing as divine effectiveness, right? It's supernatural impact. I marvel, you know, as a disciple, and I contended for hands raised in a response to the altar. But man, you know, part of altar call preaching, it's such a development, you know. Really, let's be honest, Pastor Greg could do a much better job than any of us in an altar call. But that's not what it's about. It's about men cultivating that art of preaching, the heart for preaching. It's about men contending for anointing. And so God works with us in our preaching, and he causes it to make impact that we cannot do on our own. God can cause people to hear what they need to hear. God can cause people to, your words penetrate through them into their heart and get to the heart issues. That's supernatural. And so God, that's one way he blesses his message and his messenger, is through anointing. Secondly, God blesses and works with the preaching disciple through revelation. Revelation is the ability to see or to see clearly. So, when you develop a heart for preaching, you're in practice, right? You're witnessing, you're testifying on your job, you're working with people, you're on outreach, etc. You're putting together altar calls, you're putting together Bible studies. The more you're in God's will in that area, the more revelation he brings to you. Right? The more I have preached, and with each, you could say, level of where God brings me to, right? My ministry, since I got launched, has increased, but with each increase, I want you to know, it drives me to God. Because with each increase, I recognize how much I need him. And so here, as you have this heart for preaching, for feeding the sheep, whether that's a witness and someone who has no context or idea about salvation, or you're ministering to a church where someone's been saved longer than you've been alive, the more you preach, the more God gives you revelation, the more you'll see in Scripture, the more you'll know God's character, the more you'll be able to identify God's power and speak words into lives that are life-altering. God gives you revelation. Secondly, God will give your listener revelation. That's, again, one of the miracles. Part of that is anointing. But also the listener responds. They see their need, or they recognize their error and they repent and get things right. God deposits revelation. You know, I thought about this. The Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament, had incredible revelation, had incredible insight. I mean, so many things of doctrine that we apply in our church. But do you realize where his ministry started? It started in Antioch, and it started with preaching in his congregation, right? It started with preaching. And so here, revelation comes, and we get a heart for preaching, and we're in practice, or we're constantly working at it. Thirdly is resilience. God helps the man of God to continue to preach. As I said, men that pull away from preaching and the power of preaching are discouraged men. Right? Because not everything works to your favor all the time. You're not going to win every battle. You're not going to win every outreach. Why? That's for you, right? That's for your pride. That's for your ego. God does that because it drives us to him. But You know, we're going to go through seasons as preachers. Dry seasons. Assault on our fruitfulness. We're going to go through setbacks, etc. And so we need resilience. Let's read 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 7.
For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
Okay, think about this. In essence, what Paul is saying here at the end of his life, is I have faithfully preached the gospel. Right? Wasn't that his call from the beginning? I have called you. I have appointed you to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. That was his call. And so here he is at the end of life. I'm being poured out, but I can say that I have faithfully preached Jesus. You know, that idea we saw in our pastor, Pastor Wayman Mitchell. He preached Jesus from the moment he got filled with the Holy Ghost. He said that that really solidified it for him, that he was going to preach the gospel and he would witness. This is before our fellowship, before our, you know, our formula, you could say. But here something happened in his heart. He had a drive to preach Jesus. Before he even went to seminary, he had begun teaching Sunday school to the youth in his church down in Phoenix. There was this heart to preach. Goes to seminary, graduates. From 1960 to 2020, he preached the gospel. Through witnessing, through discipleship, through counseling, through behind the pulpit, all of those things, right? For all those years, through every kind of setback, through loss, through discouragement, God gave him resilience. I remember being in Santa Fe and getting extremely discouraged in ministry. We were going through just a hard time. We were losing people. People were backsliding, long-term people. You know, were blowing up their lives. Marriage was just, marriages were falling apart. It was a very bad season. And I remember, you know, praying, God, I've only been at this 2 years. And I'm supposed to do this till I die or till you come back. I need help. I need resilience. And I'll tell you, God supplies that. God supplies what we need, right? Resilience. I'll tell you, as a pastor, you're going to have to maybe preach some things and things that people don't like or do. You're not going to be able to please everybody. You're going to need some resilience to be able to navigate that. And God will supply that to his pastor, to his preacher. Lastly is opportunity. It's amazing to me how the opportunities that come when we preach Jesus. I've had incredible opportunities to declare the gospel. You know, that opened because of relationship or because of need or because of testimony, right? Opportunities where I have been able to declare the word of God. And this is one of the way God helps his people is through opportunity. God makes a way for platforms that we didn't think possible. God makes a way for areas that we didn't think possible. Doors that were once closed then began to open. And he creates opportunity for the preacher. God helps his message, and God helps his messenger. So let's close. Let's think about accompanying signs. This is the third part of our scripture in preaching. Verse 20 says, God, he confirmed the word through the accompanying signs. God confirms preaching with the miraculous. Right? And this is one of the powerful parts of preaching, whether that be miracle conversions, after preaching, whether that be miracle healing after preaching, deliverance, or a restoration, right? This is why preaching is so valuable. This is why if you can do it now, exercise preaching, test preaching right now, it's going to reveal where you lack. I have a reference point that when I preach altar calls, my reference point is as a disciple preaching in 180, I could not get hands raised. People would pray after I preached, where someone would go out, hey, you know, what do you think? You know, blah, blah, blah. Do you want to go pray? Yes, I do. So people were getting saved when I preached, but they weren't raising their hand and coming to the altar. So I asked Pastor Greg, how do I get dominion in that? And he gave me a list of things, and I did all of them, right? And my next altar call, I prayed specifically for 7 souls to get saved, to raise their hand and come to the altar. And that night, 7 got saved. So that is my reference point. Think about that. Before anything else, before any other miracles, before taking over, before being behind the pulpit, I'm learning preaching and I'm learning the miraculous before I'm ever out. And so here, this is why you must test your preaching now in various ways. And again, as I said, I'd never preached a formal sermon before I got sent out. My first sermon was out of 1 Kings 18, The Sound of Abundant Rain. That was my first formal sermon behind a pulpit. But I had been preaching for 3 years prior to that. I had been preaching on outreach. I had been preaching through my band and the lyrics of our songs. We made it a point, if someone comes into 180, they stay for one song, they need to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them and that they can be changed. That was the thrust of our band. And so here, I had been preaching. I had done Bible studies. I had preached altar calls. I had done healing crusades. I had fill in the blank, every opportunity I had. And I had seen miracles. I had, by the time I got sent out, seen conversions. There was fruit in the church connected to my life. I had seen healing because I was exercising, praying for the sick. I had seen deliverance because I was working with people and contending for them and helping them through their addictions and their mind or mental health bondages. I've seen them delivered. I had experience in preaching. So the challenge is this morning, gentlemen, is are you a preaching disciple now? Is there a heart for preaching? Do you have a heart for this? And some of the most successful men that I have seen in ministry are preachers. Men that have a heart for preaching. It's not just the Sunday school, serious men, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. The most successful men that I can think of in my mind, disciples from our congregation, the most successful men, it's not just those 5 sermons that they're worried about. They're preaching on their jobs. They're preaching on outreach. They're preaching every opportunity that they get on top of preaching behind the pulpit. And why? Is because this is the gospel of action. Right? The gospel, declaring the good news, the herald of the king, right? All of the whole idea of it, the fight of faith, that is all language of action. We are not going to see revival and win the world for God if we are not men of action. And so this is where it starts. Ministry starts with preaching. Okay. Very good. That's all I have. Let's open it for questions. Yeah, okay.
You mentioned that Pastor Gray gave you a list of things to get dominion in that area. So kind of a question and a question. Were those things, couldn't you also apply those things to something simple as witnessing?
Yeah.
The same list of things. And in that, what were, I mean, if it was long, you know, I get it. But, if it, you know, just a short kind of summary of what those things were.
Yeah.
That you were able to do to get that dominion.
Yeah, definitely. So, yes, they can be applied to other areas, absolutely. And some of the things he said was, number one, he said, pray specifically. So, you know, 7 wasn't the magic number. That was the first number that came to my head. So I prayed for 7 specifically. He said, fast, right? And that is dependence on God. The third thing he said is, you can give. Right? And I did. I gave a special offering. God, I'm contending for dominion in this. And then lastly, is he said, witness. When you go out and witness, and this is what I'm talking about at the end here, the gospel of action. When you go out and witness, you might not pray with someone on that witness, but you're pressing the battle, right, to the enemy's gates. You're taking dominion. You're saying, no, I refuse to settle for this. And I did. I went witnessing on my own, and I said, God, I'm contending. And yeah, I prayed with some people. No, they didn't lock in, but I prayed with people. I took action. And like I said, that night, I actually preached 2 altar calls. The first one, 5 got saved. The second one, 2 got saved. So it was, yeah, the total of 7. Yeah, David?
You're talking about loving preaching. Are you talking about specifically preaching behind a pulpit? Because it sounds like the way you're applying it is a lot more than that.
Absolutely.
Like evangelism.
Yes.
Whatever form.
Yeah, exactly. So preaching meaning declaring in whatever way that looks, right? Because that's what ministry is going to be. You're preaching more sermons out of the pulpit than you are behind the pulpit. Right. I when I left Rochester, one of the guys that testified as we're leaving, testifying to my ministry there, you know, just he said, my pastor discipled me. Yes. Behind the pulpit. He discipled me in serious men. But he also discipled me on outreach. He also discipled me on I-90. When we were going out of town, he would sit in the front and ask questions and different things. You are preaching and discipling every single opportunity. You know, I was just talking with a pastor from the Northeast yesterday, and you know, he asked how my family was doing, etc. And he goes, "Your family is such a testimony to us still today. You guys have something incredible." That was a sermon, right? My marriage is a sermon. My children are a sermon. How I interact with them. My life is a sermon, right? You are preaching all the time. So developing a heart for it, right, is going to flow into every area of life. Yep. You know, even in the ER, they knew who I was, right? And that testimony lives, right? It's because I was a preacher. That got into my heart.
Yep. You're talking about preaching. I'm just wondering, it seems like there's a certain confidence between, if you're using the word preaching, then maybe like reasoning with someone. When we're preaching, we're declaring. So mm-hmm. It's like, I know this is true. I've experienced this. Does that translate into your witnessing and into kind of like your testimony and stuff like that? They knew who you were in the ER because it was like, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I believe. More than just because Pastor said so.
Absolutely.
So my question is it important if we're going to make preaching our focus all the time that we know what we believe?
Absolutely.
Does it have to happen first?
Well, I think it happens with, okay. Right? Because as you witness, and that's what I'm talking about. Preaching, when I'm using that word, as I said in the beginning, simply means declare. Everywhere you go, right, your life is going to declare Jesus, or at least it should. Your conduct, your words, your work ethic, all of that preaches, it declares who you are, right? So, but in witnessing, in dealing with people, in working with people, right? What happened with the disciples? Why couldn't we cast it out? Right? You're going to hit roadblocks. You're going to hit things where you don't know. And it's okay to say, you know what? Let me get an answer for you. Let me find that out. And that's what I mean is, I think it's going to happen with it, not before, but together, right? In harmony with one another. Yeah, it's not one. You can't. It's not like you can't be effective if, unless I know everything, right? No, it's going to be together.
The source would the source still be the Word of God?
Yeah,
because we'll declare things without understanding completely.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand the Trinity completely.
Right.
It's like, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there will be some things. Yes, the Word of God. Asking questions to your pastor. You know, that is really where I learned the most. Really where I learned the most. And again, when you ask questions, and I've mentioned this before, you're not just getting an answer. You're getting impartation. You're getting doctrine, right? And you're getting revelation. You're getting all three of those things with asking a simple question to your pastor. So, yeah, to answer your question, yes, you must be rooted in your salvation, definitely, and take God at His word, you know, and that's where your confidence comes from, right? It comes from the authority of God, who God is.
Right? You said, what are the three things when you ask a question?
Yeah, you're gonna get impartation. Right. Yeah, and you're going to get revelation, and
doctrine.
You're going to get doctrine. Yes.
Doctrine was actually the second.
The second one. Yeah. Yep.
So if you know you're called, you know God spoke to you. You know in your mind that you're supposed to preach. How do you get it from your mind into your heart?
Yeah. What I often tell men is. You know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what do you treasure? What is valuable to you? When you begin to put that, you know, into preaching, into your discipleship, into soul winning, etc., that's when your heart follows, right? So for a long time, I knew I was called to preach. I knew that God had that for me, but there was a lot, I knew it up here, but there was a lot that it wasn't in here. I did not have a heart for evangelism. I was hit and miss on outreach. I was on outreach when it benefited me in some way, right? I was, fearful. I was, you know, there were so many things of ministry that I needed revelation on. But when I dedicated to outreach, that was really the first big step. I mean, I had obviously done standards, you know, the vows of exampleship. I was in prayer, you know. But when I dedicated myself to outreach and not just showing up, right? But like, I'm going to outreach and I'm going to tell someone about Jesus. That's when my heart began to change. That's when the drive began to, you know, and when you pray with your first person, man. I tell people all the time, when you pray with your first soul, there's nothing like it. It is amazing, you know. And I tell new converts that, and yeah, I mean, they get amped, right? But that made the big difference, dedicating myself to outreach, showing up and supporting another disciple's outreach, and making the effort to witness, to make contact with people. I'll tell you, it bothers me that we can be at an outreach and we have a good group of church people that are watching people, visitors, come and go. Come and go. That is our opportunity, right? What are you waiting for them to come up and say, excuse me, quick question, what must I do to be saved? Oh, well, let me help you with that, right? No, sometimes it's just beginning to talk with them. And that when you dedicate yourself to evangelism, really go from here to here, definitely. Yep.
It's kind of off topic, but off of Isaac's question about knowledge and all that, obviously I know you've mentioned, you know, when you preach you should read the Bible story and figure out what you're preaching, kind of learn it. But have you ever preached things that, you know, you love the Bible and you love preaching, but you preach it and you learn something yourself? Or should you know, you know, or should, you know, I don't know, it's kind of a balance of when you preach, should you, you should know a little bit of the story, or, you know, enough to preach it, so, you know, you're not, so you know what you're preaching, obviously, but at the same time, is that, do you ever find yourself preaching, and, like, I didn't even know that, and, you know, you're kind of preaching to yourself as well?
Well, I mean, you might study and get revelation, yeah, you know, and then when you're preaching, yes, you want to know the context. Mm-hmm. Context is key. If you don't, if you're preaching something out of context, then you're preaching false doctrine, right? Or you could be. And so you definitely want to know the context of your story, what's happening, in order to apply it a certain way. But if you preach something that you're not clear on, it's not going to become clear mid-sermon.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a second. You know, it must be clear to you in order for it to be clear to your listener.
Yeah, and I'm mainly, not necessarily during your preaching, oh, wow, but mainly, like, say you're struggling in an area, or you may be struggling in an area, but you also had a revelation to preach about that area. I mean, I guess you can go along with not being a hypocrite of, don't, you know, practice what you preach, but I guess if you're not very fruitful, but you bring people once in a while, does that mean you can't preach on fruitfulness, or...
No, not at all, because that's still something in the Bible, must be declared, right? But yeah, as you preach things, you are getting a heart for it, right? You are developing a heart for, you know, whatever arena that is. So, yeah, and God helps us, right? God helps us. Yeah.
So, on preaching, would that be considered also like a faith thing? Because, like you said, you are preaching, and then sometimes you have fruit, sometimes you don't, and that's that for that pride area, but like get discouraged and stuff, and so it turns into a faith thing. I'm going to do this because this is what was commissioned to us.
Yeah, absolutely, right? Faith is taking God at his word. So if I'm not seeing it, the mistake many men make is, well, it doesn't work in 2020. Yes, it does. Why? Because God said it. So my gauge for problems is, what does God say about it? So yeah, it would be, no, I'm believing God. I'm taking this in faith, you know. And yeah, that's part of working through contending for dominion.
I have two questions. First off, when you say preaching, obviously we preach Jesus, the hope of Jesus, but would shying away from preaching be not just not preaching, but leaving out, like, hell and the cross and stuff like that? Would that be what you're talking about? You said that men who don't preach are discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk more a little bit
about that? So what I mean, what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of pastors, they look at three things. They look at the money, right? They gauge ministry by money, how many people they have, and what are they saying about it, right? Why? Because Pastor Mitchell said for years, preaching is ego, right? So, discouragement, I preached on fornication, I lost a bunch of people. I preached on, whatever, fill in the blank, and I'm losing people. So, in discouragement, they preach, motivation. They preach, good works. You know, those types of things. It's like, they don't interpret it that way, right? Or men who are discouraged don't preach. They stop believing in evangelism. Right? I took over two churches where evangelism was non-existent. One church, they did a big event every 3 months. So think about this. For 3 months, you're not doing anything. You're pouring all your efforts into one event. What happens if that event doesn't work? Right? That sucks. The other church I took over had no Saturday outreach because it's a waste of money on flyers that people just throw away. Right? It's 2020. People aren't open. Door-to-door isn't... an accepted thing. You know, people think Mormon or Jehovah Witness. So, right, and they had all these reasons why, but they were discouraged, right? They stopped believing in the power of preaching. They stop believing what Jesus told us to do. Right. So that would be discouragement. Yeah. Your second question? Okay, good. I meant to. Very good. Other questions? Something you want to ask? Very good. Yeah, again, I just want to encourage you guys. I know that there was a couple guys that had some Bible studies this past Friday, had some good turnouts, and want to encourage that you guys continue that. You know, this is what I'm talking about. That's preaching. That's preaching. That's ministry. Opening up your life, opening up your home, declaring the message, declaring the good news. And when you get a heart for it, man, I mean, it's amazing and it's so exciting. It's so exciting to see God change lives, and you have part in it. You have part in it. I want to encourage you, secondly, you don't have to do it alone. You have brethren. Help each other. Strengthen each other. Iron sharpens iron. Build each other up. Right? Yeah, we're in the midst of COVID. Yeah, we've you know, people staying home, whatever, fill in the blank. But I'm telling you, I don't know if you saw last night the clashes in D.C., right? You had the MAGA Million Man March. You have, you know, Antifa and BLM descending on that. And the footage, guys, we need Jesus. Our nation is torn, and Jesus is the only answer. You're not going to persuade someone by your opinions, your policies, or your views. They need a change in their heart.
Yeah.
And so I'm telling you, this is where this hat takes place, you know. It's things like this. Not only that, secondly, let's bring it closer to home, right? So a lot of these big city things, we don't always have context for it being in Prescott, Arizona, where majority of people agree with our mindsets, okay? But let's bring it a little closer to home. I don't know if you've seen in Prescott Valley now, I think it's up to 3 overdoses, 13, 14-year-olds, right? Hey, if they're willing to take a pill, why wouldn't they be willing to take Jesus? Okay, we have a desperate society, even in our city, and preaching is what's going to win them. All right, awesome.